This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Well, there's no doubt about it. The media is fascinated with the Tea Party. It is a political phenomenon. One thing that the media continues to search for with regard to the Tea Party is a religious connection. Is there one? And why in the world would the New Yorker devote 25,000 words to what can only be called a very small religious minority in the U.S., Scientology? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. for this next segment. Sarah Pulliam Bailey is our guest. She's online editor for Christianity Today and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Sarah, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
I think I can understand the press's fascination with the Tea Party. Why do you think they continue to search for a religious connection in that vein?
Sure. I think in the past, think back to the 2004 election, the media was so enthralled with the idea that, you know, evangelicals might have pushed President Bush into office that, you know, they started paying attention to them as a base, you know, for the Republican Party. Well, now, you know, a lot of the political focus is on the economy, and so, of course, the Tea Party gets a lot of play. And so they're trying to figure out if these two movements are either, you know, are they competing with each other? Are they, kind of helping each other? They're trying to figure out, you know, if you're in the Tea Party, are you also a social conservative? Do you have religious ties? So I think they're trying to sort these things out as they're trying to figure out, you know, who is going to be the Republican nomination for the 2012 presidential election.
Why is Iowa important in this respect?
Sure. Well, Iowa has, it's important in the primaries in terms of, you know, whoever wins that primary tends to pull out or at least get a lot of attention in terms of, you know, they kind of like start the ball rolling, if that makes sense, in terms of just being one of the first states to go through a primary. They set the tone often, and they also have, you know, a strong evangelical presence, and so, you know, that you might have kind of crossover there where people who are in the Tea Party movement also are evangelical. And so, you know, we saw this Washington Post article recently that kind of looked at, you know, this both-and approach. We've seen some other articles that almost say the opposite, that, you know, if you're social conservative, you might think that the Tea Party goes against, you know, or is competing or is contradictory to what you're standing for. So this is kind of a new angle, if you will.
You say you'll be curious if the 2012 election coverage suffers in the religion category due to the Tea Party. Why so?
Yeah, I mean, it's always very exciting to cover something new, something, you know, you're breaking new ground, you're finding new voices, and you're trying to, you know, just the nature of the media is you're trying to find new angles and find new things, and especially, you know, where people are feeling it most right now, which is the economy. And so the Tea Party just seems like such an exciting, you know, thing to cover, if you will. And then on the flip side, but they might feel like, you know, been there, done that with religious groups. I just have not seen the same amount of coverage this time around. But, it, you know, also as we see potential presidential candidates come to the front, like, you know, CPAC this weekend is going on in D.C. Tomorrow we'll get the straw poll results. If someone comes out on top, like Mitt Romney or Tim Pawlenty or Mike Huckabee, we may see stronger religion angles at that point, especially Mitt Romney with his Mormon faith. We may just see, you know, more coverage of that angle. Huckabee with his pastoral background. Pawlenty has strong evangelical ties. So it's hard to tell. Like right now at this point, it seems like reporters are, you know, wondering who the Tea Party wants. But after, you know, someone comes, you know, as people kind of throw in, you know, decide to run, I think that we may see, at least I hope, we'll see more religion coverage.
Sarah, why is it that the New Yorker devoted 25,000 words, one word for every Scientologist in the United States, to what is arguably a very small religious minority in the U.S.?
Sure. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. I think Scientology just generally is so attractive to journalists because of, you know, they have the celebrity draw, and so journalists think, okay, they have influence, right? You know, they're influencing the culture. And then also they're very secretive, and so that is just so, you know, it's kind of like putting candy in front of a little boy and, you know, and saying you can't have this. I think journalists really like kind of the challenge of that secretiveness. So I think, you know, we see time and time again journalists trying to uncover kind of details in this religion, whereas, you know, some other religions, you know there are some issues or things that they deal with, but they tend to be, you know, depending on which one you're covering, but they may put out a press release or they may be a little more open on it, whereas the Church of Scientology is known for being, you know, more undercover, if that makes sense.
What exactly does, and I take it that you're fairly impressed with the coverage that the New Yorker did give to Scientology and the story surrounding some of the defectors from Scientology. What was the most remarkable elements of this story to you?
Sure. I think the story was well presented in that, you know, he sort of just set this up and, you know, told it through the lens of somebody who had chosen to leave the religion. The reason why this man named Paul Haggis, who directed the movie Crash, resigned from the church was he wanted the church to take a public stand against Proposition 8, the California proposition that stated marriage should be between a man and a woman. So you have this piece that is through the lens of somebody who's left the church. So you kind of have to go into that knowing that it's going to be fairly, you know, from that point of view. At the same time, the author really carefully, you know, goes through and tries to check his facts with the Church of Scientology. I think the New Yorker sent the church 971 fact-checking questions, which is just amazing to me. You know, they're known for being, you know, a fact-checking magazine, but that is a lot of fact checks. What I really liked was the author, you know, presented his, you know, all of these different elements in historical context. You know, you can tell he just did so many interviews, looked at a lot of original sources. And he got the Church of Scientology to respond. Like, he really went out of his way to do that. It's hard to kind of pick and choose. You know, I said in my Get Religion post, like, I would love to kind of pull out some of my favorite parts, but it's kind of, you know, there. A lot of people might focus on the celebrity angles. You know, there's some references to John Travolta and Tom Cruise. And then there's the leader of the Church of Scientology. You know, there's some allegations that he has abused his staff. So there's just a lot. And then the other thing that was interesting to me was that, you know, this author really tried to get at, like, the point of the Church of Scientology with the founder of the religion, trying to look at, like, some of his war records and things like that. So he really, like, picked at the whole basis for the religion, which, you know, not a whole lot of writers do that in a reported sense, if that makes sense.
One of the things you point out, finally, is that the secretive nature of Scientology's leadership not only is part of the story, but it also shapes the way that reporters report on Scientology.
Definitely.
What do you mean?
Sure. So, I think the New Yorker has this also, in addition to this long story and a lot of original sources, they also have this MP3 that they put out where the author discussed kind of the, like, what is unique to covering Scientology. Reporters have such limited access to members that they often talk to people who have left the religion, and so that's going to paint the picture just by that very nature. And then because, you know, I think you're not allowed to go in, like, the buildings and things like that. It's just because it's so secretive, it's really hard to not write a piece that is shaped by, you know, people who have left the religion or, you know, talk about how secretive it is. So, I think it does tend to be, the coverage does tend to be negative just because of those kind of elements as a reporter. It's hard to get past those.
Sarah Pulliam Bailey is an online editor for Christianity Today and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Sarah, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.